Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Great to see everybody. It's a thrill of my heart to have you here today. We've been really praying and preparing for you to be here, anticipating your visit for months and months. We have almost 200 volunteers that are all working today in different parts of the property just to make this go well. And we're just so glad that you're here. Honored that you would choose us with all the churches in Marion County. You know, there's over 400 churches in Marion County alone. 400 churches. When we started our church 34 years ago, I kept raising my hand, God, why would you call us here? There's too many churches already. And the Lord said, I want you to do it different. I want you to build a relevant, creative church that'll empower people to reach others. And that's what this is about. We're glad that you're here today. We're honored by your visit, and it's going to be a great time together. One of the things I just say, if you look around, one of the things that really blesses me is the diversity in the church. It took us about 6 or 8 years to keep punching racism in the face. Years ago, when we first started the church, we kept going out to the west side. We kept going. In fact, we have an outreach this coming Friday for the first time in a couple years, or since COVID. We do an outreach to Parkside Gardens, which is typically one of the most violent places in our whole community, right downtown Ocala. And we're going to be back there this Friday. So please pray for our team, because we're going to be back out there. But we go out there and minister to people. And just for years, it's been a great breakthrough here. And we don't believe in, you know, a black church, a white church, a Hispanic church, an Asian church, an island church. We believe it's one church. We have one blood flowing through these veins, and his name is Jesus. It's his precious blood. Amen? And so we're very glad, very grateful. I got to meet some people out of the helicopter first service. I mean, different ethnicities. I met people from all over the world. I met people literally from all over the world just a few minutes ago. What a huge blessing it is to have you here, okay? Today we're going to get right into the Bible. Now, we believe the Bible around here is not just a word. It's not just a thought. It's not just an ancient history book. We believe it is the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible word of God. We believe that God used people to bring forth his word. Listen, just as Jesus is 100% God, but also 100% man. He's called the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's not 50-50. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. Now listen, the Bible is 100% written by man, but 100% written by God through people. He wrote 66 books through 40 different authors, but the same theme, that there was coming a Messiah who would go to a cross for us to pay the price for our sin, because we're such a mess and we need help. Amen? We can't save ourselves. We need one to save us. So today, we're going to get right into that word. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures from The Message, which is a paraphrased version of the Bible. Psalms is where we're going to begin, and then from the book of Luke, and then we're off and running, okay? Psalm chapter 36, verse 5 says this, God's love is meteoric. I love that. His loyalty, astronomic. His purpose, titanic. His verdicts, oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite your love, O God. How eager we are to run under your wings, to eat our fill at the banquet you spread, as you fill our tankards with Eden spring water. You're a fountain of cascading light, and you open our eyes to light. Amen. Luke chapter 5 is a great passage in the New Testament where Jesus has just walked down the street, walked into a tax office, and called out a young man named Levi, who later went on to start a jeans company, and just seeing if you're awake, just testing the waters here. And didn't say that first service, just testing the waters, okay. Anyway, he changed his name to Matthew, and the Bible says that Jesus said to him, hey, follow me, and he just got up out of the tax office and started following Jesus. Now we come to the next scene, Luke chapter 5, of what Levi did. And it says in verse 29, Levi gave a large dinner or a dinner party at his home for Jesus. Everybody was there, tax men and other disreputable characters, as guests at the dinner. The Pharisees and their religion scholars came to his disciples greatly offended. So all these religious folks, greatly offended. What is he doing eating and drinking with crooks and sinners? Jesus heard about it and spoke up. Who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed from the inside out. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart? Let your word come forth in the room. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you. Whatever you want to do to touch lives, we believe you've gathered us for a purpose, not only in this room, but in the legacy building as well. And we give you the honor and the glory. Touch the children in a great way today as they experience the outpouring of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking this whole month a message I call the God of More Than Enough. We've been talking about the greatness of God, truthfully, the sufficiency of God, because so many of us feel deficient. We feel overwhelmed. We feel like we can't measure up. He is enough, and he is more than enough for every area where we're lacking. That's what we've been talking about all month. Have you ever walked into a room filled with people, and this thought goes through your mind, everybody else here seems like they got all their stuff together. I hope they don't find out what a mess I am. You ever been that way? You're like, I don't fit in here. These people, they got it all together. Can I tell you, you're in the right place today? Because people around you are not perfect either. And everybody's got stuff we're dealing with. We all got stuff. We all got stuff we're dealing with. And so today, I want you to relax a little bit and know you fit in just fine. There's nobody here that's going to glow in the dark and fly around the room with their wings because of their perfection, okay? Nobody, not me, none of us. We're here today because we've been saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. And we're going to talk about that gift a little bit today. I think most people experience that feeling where you're saying, yeah, I wish I fit in, or I'm glad they don't know what I'm thinking right now or what I've been through or what happened last night or last week. On a recent trip to preach in London, my friend and I went to the heart of the city for an afternoon by train, and we hopped off on the subway system they call the Tube or the Underground of London. And I was reminded of something when I saw these signs everywhere saying this phrase, and that's the title of my message today, mind the gap. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. Like, what is that? You know, mind the gap is the British way of saying pay attention to this empty space between the platform and the train so you don't fall through. There's a gap there. Mind the gap. Pay attention. Look at this. Be careful. Don't slip through because there's a gap here. I say it this way. I believe mind the gap also has a spiritual connotation in that we need to pay attention to the empty spaces inside of minds, wills, emotions, imaginations, and creativity. Quite frankly, every human being is born with empty spaces or gaps in their own lives. We call them holes in their souls. One of my favorite movies of all time is the original Rocky movie. I don't know if anybody has ever seen the original Rocky movie. It was one of those things where when I went to see that movie in 1976, it was the bicentennial of America. It was a 200-year anniversary of America, and it came out, and I went to see it as a 15-year-old kid, and I was like, what in the world? And when I came out of that movie, I kind of ran out the door with my friends. I was like, I'm ready to punch somebody, you know, or punch something, or do something. I'm ready for victory. I'm like, yo, Adrian, you know, something. And I can't help it when that movie is on the, you know, you spot it on TV. I don't care where it is. If I stop by and check it out on TV, I end up watching the rest of it again anyway. It's so moving. But in one of the great scenes of the original Rocky movie, Adrian's older brother, becomes Rocky's wife, they're dating at the time, and Adrian's brother, Paulie, is kind of a louse and a weasel, let's be honest about it. He's kind of a jerk. And he's there, and he thinks his sister's a loser, and he talks down to her all the time. You ever been seen that kind of thing? I just experienced that, where somebody just talks down all the time. So anyway, in this time, Paulie's talking to Rocky as he's working out, and he says, what in the world do you see in my sister? What's the attraction? What's the attraction? What could possibly, how could you even like her? She's ugly, she's homely, she's ordinary, she's plain. And Rocky responds, It fills gaps. It fills gaps, I guess. Now, I don't do a good Sylvester Stallone. I'm sorry, I'm not that sly. But anyway. He says, it fills gaps, I guess. Paul, he says, what's gaps? He says, I don't know. Gaps. She got gaps. I got gaps. Together we fill gaps. I don't know. My friends, that's the power of relationships. And often we look to others to fill gaps. But there's a problem with that. Other people can't completely fill the empty spaces of our lives. And the problem is we put pressure on them, and that's why a lot of relationships break down. Because we put so much pressure on them. Hey, we're in this marriage, or we're in this relationship, or we're in this family, because you got to fill my gaps. I got gaps. I've got empty spaces. And if you're not filling them in, meeting my needs, then I'm out. And we have a whole breakdown because the gaps get bigger. Because humans can't possibly meet each other's gaps. Why? Because they're flawed too. We pull on other humans only to drain them of what they got until they got nothing left to give as well. In our text in Luke chapter 5, Jesus invited Levi, aka Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him as a disciple. And in the very next scene, Levi throws this huge dinner party for Jesus and invites all of his IRS friends, which really irritated the religious crowd. He brings in all these other tax collectors, and they were hated in the community, and you know, maybe rightly so. But anyway, they were there, and they were hated, and they said, and the religious people, the people that were into the tradition and all the going through the rituals and the motions, and we got to stand here and do this and bow this and kneel this and fold our hands that and all the stuff. They're mad because Jesus was hanging out with the likes of you and me, ordinary people with gaps. And I want to say to you today, there's a lot of places in Scripture where Jesus moved very powerfully at a party, not just at a church. His first miracle was at a wedding where he turned water into wine. You might have heard of it. And in that time, Jesus' mother, Mary, said, you need to do something. They're out of wine. Jesus, it's not my time yet. But he still, in that moment, he still took and transformed something that was ordinary into something extraordinary and something wonderful for the party. I think a lot of people don't realize, listen, Jesus still goes to parties today. Now, I won't say he goes to P. Diddy parties, but he goes... Anyway, I'm moving on that one. Jesus openly declares at this party, when they're so mad and they're gnashing their teeth and they're angry and they're mad and they're religious, and Jesus stands up and he makes a declaration. I've come for those that are sick, those who recognize they need a doctor, not for those who think they're well all on their own. I'm here inviting outsiders, he said, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. My friends, this is the heart of the good news of Easter, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian author Joyce Meyer wrote this statement. She said, so often we feel we must hide our weaknesses everywhere we go, and always pretend we're strong and in need of nothing. But we all have weaknesses and inabilities. That's the truth. Jesus came for those who were sick, needy, not those who were healthy, not recognizing they were needy. She says, sometimes you just have to go ahead and be needy. Tell God everything you need. He already knows anyway and is waiting for you just to ask him for help. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. Acknowledging him is saying, God, I know you're there. I don't necessarily know you the way I want to, but I want to give you my life. I want to know, I need your help. I call upon the name of Jesus. My friends, prayer is probably not what you were taught. I don't know about you. I was raised in a traditional Methodist church till I was 11, and then a Presbyterian church until I was 18. And in neither of those churches, I heard moralisms. I heard love your neighbor. I heard be kind to animals. I heard love your neighbor's animals. I heard all these pleasantries. I heard little moralisms, but I didn't hear the gospel. I don't remember hearing the gospel of Jesus. I'm sure somewhere they preached it, but I didn't hear it. I didn't have ears to hear, but it wasn't there for me. And I thought prayer was all about formalism, going through the motions and the rituals. And listen, prayer is not about all that. It's not even about eloquence with words. Sometimes the most powerful prayer you can pray is, help! I need help! I had an influential aunt who was a believer in my life, my mother's sister. We called her my crazy aunt from New Jersey because she seemed to have a hotline to heaven. And she didn't go to our kind of church. She went to a church kind of like this. And my aunt kept telling me when I was a teenager, when you get in trouble, you call upon the name of Jesus and he will rescue you. And it made no sense to me until I got into trouble. Till I got into a mess in my life that I had no way out of. By 19 years old, I was in a corner. I was married, expecting a child. You know the old, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby carriage? That didn't work for us. We went the hard road. And God brought us together. My wife and I just had our 44th wedding anniversary last Thursday. By the grace of God, 44 years. But at that time, I told her, okay, when we get married, I'm going to quit doing all this crazy stuff. Just let me have a bachelor party, and I'll do everything that I'll get it out of my system. That's what I said. I'll get it out of my system. How many know you can't change yourself? Not enough to worship a perfect God or be in relationship with him. So 2 months into our relationship, our marriage, my friend came home from the Air Force, my friend John. My best friend missed our wedding. He went to the Air Force, was stationed in Germany, came home from Germany, and he called me up. He said, hey, he called me Rich. Hey, Rich, I'm home. I never got to take you out for your bachelor party. I said, no, that's behind me. He goes, yeah, but you got to have something left over. You know, we got to go to the beach and have a little party. I said, well, I do have something stashed away that my wife doesn't know about. Let me see if I can get it. And I had hidden something underneath, inside a filing cabinet, I'd taped something underneath a drawer just in case of emergency. You know, I was a good boy now. I was going to grow up. I was going to be a man. I was going to quit doing all that crazy stuff, right? But, you know, this is a special occasion. My friend, he was supposed to be my best man. He didn't get to be at the wedding. So I found a way. And when I reached underneath and grabbed that small baggie, and I pulled it out, I turned around, and my wife of 2 months was standing there looking at me and burst into tears. And she said, I think we made a mistake. We had agreed never to use the word divorce, but she used it that day. I think she used the word murder too, but anyway, I'm not sure. But you know, like 19-year-olds do, I still went to the beach. My friend John's home from the Air Force. That was the last day I got high. Because when I got home, I got on my knees next to the bed. I brought flowers and candy. I thought that might help a little bit. It didn't. And I got on my knees next to the bed and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I broke your heart. I don't know. I thought I could change myself. And for the first time, something went from here to here, and I said, I can't change myself. If God is real, then I need to know him for myself because I can't play games. I'm not going to be one of those guys that pretends like everything's great when you're at church and then I'm out there in the world running with my friends. I'm not going to do that. I can't stand that. You are who you are. And you got to be consistent with it. So I said, and if God will show me that he's real, I'll serve him. Some of you have been here for a while and you never heard my testimony. But I got on my knees that night and I cried out to God and I said, Jesus, if you're real, if my aunt was right, I'm calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus right now and I need help. I wish I could tell you I changed everything instantly, but it was the last time I got high. 44 years ago this coming May. The change happened on the inside first. It was a surrender. It was a decision. Okay, I can't do it on my own. I'm needy. I don't want to be needy, but I'm needy. My friends, prayer is about getting real with the Creator and allowing Him to become your Father. Someone once told me the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll never kick the door down. He'll simply knock on the door, but you have to open it. And it changed my life. At my 10th reunion of high school, someone had found out I was a pastor already. At that point, I was a youth pastor in Orlando. And they asked me to lead the blessing for my 10-year high school reunion. Now, they all knew me as a party guy from high school. And I got up and they said, Reverend Richard Parentchief is going to say the blessing right now. And I thought, who is that? Nobody called me Reverend before. And I got up and I just said, Lord, we ask you to bless the food. And all of a sudden there was laughter and a big commotion while I'm in the middle of praying my prayer. And as the meal was being served, this girl came over to me. Her name is Lisa. I'm so sorry I disrupted your prayer. I said, what was that about? She said, do you remember how strong I was in the Lord back then and you used to persecute me on the bus and tease me about being a Christian and a holy roller and a this and a that? She said, I prayed for you every day that you, when you teased me, I blessed you and I prayed for you. And she said, I didn't know till you stood up that you were a Christian. And then when somebody told me you're a pastor, she said, I just laughed so hard I fell off my chair. I felt so unqualified, but God. My friends, we all got gaps. That's the truth about life. We all know we're human, but we spend a lot of time trying to convince other people that we're good, we're self-sufficient. Honestly, we're trying to convince ourselves, I think, because we know us better than anybody, right? We know us. We know us when we're alone. We know what the enemy tries to put in our mind or even in our flesh. We know the thoughts that we think. When the chips are down, we know there are dark places inside of all of us, especially without God. But to accept Christ changes everything. It doesn't change you instantly of all the emotion and all the trauma and all the stuff you've been through. But to accept Him changes your trajectory. It gets you past the mental strain of the gaps of the past. Everything Jesus did in His 33 years on this earth opens up the way to wholeness. And I love that word, wholeness. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, I'm the life. Someone suggested we could almost substitute the word holiness with the word wholeness. I like that because for some reason, holiness seems to have a connotation to me of like God being judgmental and waiting to smack me when I mess up. But wholeness, the fact that He's whole and wants me to be whole, I can get that. I can get that. There's a great scripture. One of my life scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't know it, you should. This is God speaking to an individual person. And He says this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of your peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now the word peace, God thinks about your peace. When I read that even years after I became a Christian, I thought, God thinks about my peace? He thinks about me that way? He thinks about my peace? And then I started reading, I did a little word study, and the Hebrew word is a word you might have heard in the Jewish people use, the word shalom. Like the Hawaiian people say aloha for a good hello and goodbye. The Jewish people say shalom for hello and goodbye. But it means something more. It's a word that's pregnant with meaning. The word shalom means peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. My friend, God thinks about that for you. He thinks about that for you. His heart is that you flourish in life, not just eke out an existence, not that you just get through another day, but that you have vision, you have hope, you have purpose, you have meaning, and you find satisfaction in Him as you walk with Him through this life. His heart is that you flourish, but you'll never be able to do that without having a personal relationship with Him through Jesus. That's what Easter's about. Jesus lived the perfect sinless life, willingly sacrificed Himself to pay the penalty for our sin. All of it. Like missing puzzle pieces, every person is born into this world with a God-shaped void right in their core, right in your essence, right in the center of your being, in your spirit, man, right there where there's an empty spot. Your spirit without Jesus is dead, the Bible says. It was the penalty of sin of Adam and Eve that he said, you shall die. That didn't mean physical death at that point. It meant spiritual death, that the light went out and that empty void, that empty space was there. And we try to fill it with material stuff. Just give me more stuff and I'll be happy. Just give me more stuff and I'll be happy. Give me more this, more that, more pleasure. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose their own soul? I'm almost done. We try to numb that empty feeling with whatever substance we can find, alcohol, drugs, weed, video games, illicit sex, even food. Even some good things we can use as a tonic to try to numb ourselves from feeling the emptiness that we have. But none of that will ever fill the vacancy of the fragile heart except God. God is more than enough. He is whole, and He tells you that you can be whole too. I love the prayer. I'll close with this. Ephesians 3:19 is a great passage. Paul the Apostle is praying for the people of Ephesus, and he says, I'm praying that you would know the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, the love of Christ, the love of the Anointed One and His anointing, the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's an amazing statement. It says to me that God's love fills the gap. The world uses the word love for all kinds of interchangeable nonsense that may or may not be love. But God's love is the word agape in the Greek. It's a selfless, it's that unconditional love, it's that love and acceptance we're all searching for. It's that love that fills, it's that love that casts out fear. But here's the deal. It's a paradox of our faith that you have to admit that you're empty and in need for the Lord of life to begin to fill you up. And that's what happened when I was 19. I said, God, I'm empty. I tried to grow up and be a good man, a good husband, preparing to be a good father. I tried that. And I'm not doing a good job. But if you're real, I need you to show me. Because I can't do it without you. Today we're inviting you to experience that same life change that Jesus came to give people at that party. Here at our Easter celebration, our helicopter candy drop. God is more than enough. For whatever area where you're deficient, every area where you're being attacked right now, every area where you're lacking, every area where you're in pain, every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, mental, anything, whatever it is. So many people that I've met recently going through depression or afraid of their own shadow because of all the stuff going on in the world. My friends, you're here for a reason. Don't lose sight of that. But you'll never know what that reason is until you know the one who created you for His purpose and His glory in the first place. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we close right now? Just when we ask you to close your eyes, it's so you give it. Everybody gets a private moment. We're not here to put anybody on display. We're here to help you. And I'm here to tell you that the truth is, you need God more than you think you do. And if you just relegate him to once in a while, that's not a relationship. How long would your marriage last if you just stopped off at Christmas and Easter and said hello? It's not a marriage. Something that God wants to do that's going to take what Pastor Lindsay led us in a few moments to. Just surrender. Right now we're praying that heaven would touch the earth. Holy Spirit, would you come and meet the people right where they are? Thank you that they don't have to change themselves right now to find their way to your presence. They just have to accept what you've done. You came from heaven to earth. You came to show us the way. You came to be that way. The truth is, the cross shows the love of God. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm praying, when I tell you we're doing everything we can to prepare for your visit, we have. But now it's up to heaven and earth to meet. We say a song around here, let heaven touch the earth. Heaven touch the earth. Receive our sacrifice.
Receive our sacrifice.
Yes.
Lord, as we dwell here in this house of God, let your glory change our lives.
Here's what I feel to do right now. Whether you're in the legacy building, in the overflow area, I heard there's people even in the lobby right now that are watching, and we're so glad that you're here watching. But those of you in the room, just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed just for another moment. Here's what I want to do. Give everybody a moment here. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. At the end of that, when I say three, I want you, if you want prayer today, if you want me to pray for you, if you want to know that relationship that fills the gap, that fills the void, if you want to know if Jesus is real, if you want to know if he's alive, if you want to know that he loves you, if you want to experience that love, I ask you at the end of three just to raise your hand real high, high enough and long enough for me to see it, because I want to pray for each and every one of you. First service, I'll bet you, I don't know, 25-30% of the hands went up. What a miracle. This is the greatest miracle. More than a healing from cancer, which we've seen, because he can do it. More than that, coming in dead in sin and walking out that door alive in Christ is the greatest miracle that can ever possibly happen. Jesus is resurrected, and he wants to resurrect your spirit, your life, your relationship. Right now, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, no one looking around, give everybody privacy. One. Listen, God made a perfect world. Sin and Satan messed it up in rebellion. Jesus went to the cross, lived a perfect sinless life, and went to the cross and rose from the dead to restore that order back. And now you and I can live in that. Two, every man, every woman, every child. Maybe you say, oh, I'll do that later. I'll pray that prayer later. No, you don't understand. When the Holy Spirit is moving, that's when you got to jump into the flow of what he's doing. You can't wait. You can't. The Bible says nobody can come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And if he's drawing you now, then I plead with you, I beg you, do not resist him. There's a very frightening verse of scripture in the Old Testament that says this, that he that oftentimes being reproved or corrected by God, hardens his neck, shall find sudden destruction. God's not mad at you. He's not trying. Listen, you're walking toward the edge of a cliff, some of you, and you don't even know it. And God is trying to do everything to warn you and to bring you to a place of freedom and a place of recognizing that he is Lord of your life. in just a moment. Here we go. This is your second. This is your moment. This is your time right now. All over the place. Every man and woman and child, whether you're in the overflow or in the lobby, somebody's going to be there to help you. Here it is. Three. Put your hand up and keep it up. 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 Keep it right there. Right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person whose hand is raised, every person whose heart is open, that today would be a miracle day. Today would be a breakthrough day. Today would be a day that their lives would change trajectory to go from where they've been on the road to onto the new journey of relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Lord, reveal yourself to them and through them in Jesus' name. Now, those of you who have your hands raised, everybody, you know, everybody, just say this out loud with me. Just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again, Jesus.
Jesus.
I ask you now, to come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my independence.
Come and fill this void.
Fill this gap in my soul.
And change me
from the inside out.
I want to know you.
In a real way,
as Lord of life,
in Jesus' name. My friends, if you meant that, we want to help you. This is a journey. See, a lot of times in denominational things, they'll tell you, you pray that prayer and you're going to go to heaven when you die. Okay, that's a big part, but that's not the only part. This is not just about going to heaven when you die. This is about a relationship with God that begins from now on. And we want to help you on your journey. Because this isn't about praying a one-off prayer. This is about a relationship. If your hands were raised, raise them one more time. If your hands were raised, raise them one more time. Do me a favor. Just stand up on your feet right where you are. Don't let your head talk you out of what your heart knows. Stand up on your feet right where you are. Stand up on your feet right where you are. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We want to help you. Give it up for the people that are standing responding today. Come on. Woo! We love you guys. We love you guys. We want to help you.
Thank you, Lord.
As soon as we dismiss the service in just a second, we have some people over here just want to pray for you. We have a free Bible for you. If you want a Bible, maybe some people come now, they don't even have a Bible. We want to help you. You have a free Bible over here. We want to help you on this journey. We want to help you on this road. Take that 3-week challenge. Listen, we invite you, those of you standing, just come right now if you want to. Just come right over here. Just step out. We're not going to hold you long. The helicopter is going to be here in 15 minutes. We got plenty of time, and we're going to let you go in just a second, okay? The helicopter is going to be there 15 minutes, but we'll do whatever it takes. God bless you. How you doing? Good to see you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Mike.
Awesome.
Hey, Mike. Folks, this is what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.